Well, the court reorganization, or the reorganization of the courts in Wayne County, was brought about largely because legislation was introduced, which had been pushed by our court, by the Chief Justice Coleman particularly, to shift the funding of the state courts from the shoulders of counties and to the state. After all, the courts of the state of Michigan are really state courts, and for years the local governments have had the burden of funding about half the cost or thereabouts. And so this state reorganization funding program was underway, and as a part of that, a decision was made in the legislature to abolish the Detroit Traffic Court and the old Detroit Common Pleas Court, and to create in their place a district court of the kind that had half a dozen years earlier been established in the smaller cities and townships around the state. The Common Pleas Court and the Traffic Court in Detroit were unique, and it was time that they go. The implications of making that switch were far greater and more complex than first the legislature thought, I came to learn. There were seven labor unions involved in the representation of the staff employees of those courts. There were jurisdictional questions which had to be worked out. There were security problems. There were problems of geography about moving prisoners. There was a question of whether the county sheriff would have any jurisdiction in a new city court, and a host of such problems. So the legislature was addressing them, as indeed it was obligated to do, but somebody, the Supreme Court thought, had to be on the scene to supervise, maybe that's not the verb, to monitor the process of shifting to the new court system, because under the Constitution, the Supreme Court had the responsibility of making sure the lower courts operated efficiently. And if the legislature created a monster that wouldn't work, no matter how innocently, it was the Supreme Court who would have to answer for it. So the court designated, through the Chief Justice, delegated to me the responsibility to come to Wayne County, to be established here in an office, and to serve as the eyes and ears of the court as this transition was occurring. The fiscal implications of the change were enormous. The city of Detroit was being asked to pick up millions of dollars of the cost of the new court, and it would receive in return some $12 million of state funds it was never entitled to receive before. The traffic ticket bureau was being reorganized. A computerized outfit in the city of New York was being hired to run the traffic ticket enforcement system.
As I recall, that was a terrible mess.
It was a mess, an awful mess, and I wasn't too concerned about what they created. I was concerned about making it work after the legislature created them. And so Marilyn Hall, who is now the Constitutional State Court Administrator, as of our conversation today, was then an assistant administrator, and she came with me to Wayne County. We spent almost a year down here in an office in the Lafayette building. Of course, I carried on my responsibilities as best I could as a member of the court, hearing and deciding cases and writing opinions, although I must say so doing both jobs required resulted in a bit of a backlog for me for a while. But that process was interesting to me in the sense of it enabled me to see how new courts are created. It also enabled me to see the seamier side of the political log rolling that went on when an opportunity presented itself like that to create jobs. The result, in my opinion, of it all, without getting into the technicalities of it, is that the legislature saw an opportunity to create at least 10 judgeships, which in my judgment were not needed. The city of Detroit at that time was shifting, or probably the shift had pretty much been completed, from a predominantly white community to a predominantly black community. The black citizens of the city, certainly rightfully, were very anxious to be appropriately represented in the judiciary. And there, justice required that there be more black judges in the courts in the city of Detroit. But the creation of this new court system resulted in the creation of 10 judgeships, which many of us believe then and still believe were not needed. And they were all filled at one shot at an election. And the fact that the people were elected were black judges was a positive feature of the outcome. The negative feature of the outcome is that nearly everyone agreed that the public was helpless to make any kind of an informed judgment about the qualifications of the many, many candidates whose credentials they were asked to examine to fill these new judgeships. But fill them they did at the polls, and the result was, when the dust settled, the creation of a system of courts which is now working. It's working very well, it seems to me, in the city of Detroit, as well as can be expected, given the complexities of operating a court system in an area this big. That experience threw me into the power politics milieu of the city of Detroit. It enabled me to work very closely with the mayor of the city in a series of meetings in his office to express regularly what the Supreme Court's interest was, which was primarily to see that a court system was constructed here which would have a reasonable opportunity to respond to the mandates of the Constitution and the statutes and would work efficiently and fairly, and which could be staffed with people of competence. The mayor was interested in all that stuff, but he was also interested to see where the strings of power would lie when it was all over. And I came to see firsthand at those meetings that the mayor is a brilliant politician who understands where the power is, how to acquire it, how to keep it. To watch him utilize the authority of his office was like watching Leonard Bernstein conduct the New York Philharmonic. It was a rich experience and memorable.
There must have been some conflict with Acali and with Killeen, the clerk, and that sort of thing.